The most frequent question I'm seeing right now in our local gardening groups in the Kansas City metro area is it safe to plant? Most of these gardeners are concerned with their tomato, pepper, cucumber, or squash plants or anything else that likes the warmer weather, but some of them are also questioning their cool weather plants too. And that's a legitimate question. The confusion is real right now here because even though we're supposed to just now be hitting our last frost date, the air temperatures have been unusually warm for most of April, and that can lull us into a false sense of security. Highs in the 80s Fahrenheit and lows only dipping into like the 50s Fahrenheit can make you feel like it's time to put those heat-loving plants out into the ground. It may also make you feel like you've missed the window on planting your cool weather crops like lettuces or snap peas. Using the last frost date in spring or our average air temperatures might be a good guideline to start with when figuring out when to plant the garden. But a better method for knowing when it's actually time to sow those seeds or transplant those plants is the soil temperature. Even though the air temperatures may be warmer than usual, the soil knows the truth. If that soil is cold and wet, or might be that way in the next 10 days, your tomatoes or peppers or whatever are not going to be happy sitting in that chilled soil, no matter how warm the daytime air temperatures get. But your sugar snap peas and your lettuce might be absolutely thrilled. So today on Just Grow Something, we'll talk about optimal soil temperatures for both cool season and warm season crops, for both seed germination and transplant growth, how to properly check your soil temperature, and where to find historic temperature data for your area so you can more effectively plan your planting dates and not be lulled into that false sense of security. Let's dig in. Hey, I'm Karen. I started gardening in a small corner of my suburban backyard, and now 18 years later, I've got a degree in horticulture and operate a 40-acre market farm. I believe there is power in food and that everyone should know how to grow at least a little bit of their own. On this podcast, I share evidence-based techniques to help you plant, grow, harvest, and store all your family's favorites. Consider me your friend in the garden. So grab your garden journal and a cup of coffee and get ready to just grow something. You guys, there's new merch in the merch shop on my website. I'm pretty sure that I spent way too much time designing the new graphics, but sometimes my brain just needs a creative outlet that isn't me running my mouth. So this was it. There's also new options for some of the old designs too, like tank tops and t-shirts instead of like long sleeve and sweatshirts. But you guys have to check it out because I giggle every time I see a couple of these designs, and I think you will too. So justgrowsomethingpodcast.com/shop. I'm still adding new stuff over the next couple of weeks, and I promise you will not be disappointed. I will leave a link in the show notes. And quick reminder about the question of the month for April. What have you struggled with the most in terms of garden maintenance, and did you find a solution? This can be anything from maintaining soil nutrients to keeping up with the maintenance of raised planters or trellises, proper mulching, keeping up with specific plant diseases, whatever your garden needs that you just struggle to give it or that you used to struggle with and you found a solution. Answer the question from right there in Spotify if that's where you're listening. Reply to this week's email newsletter on Friday with your answer. And go sign up for that newsletter on my website if you're not already on it. Drop that answer in the Facebook group or send me a DM on social media. You have until April 30th to give me your answer, and maybe we can find some solutions to these problems together. Okay, I totally understand the desire to get a jump on early planting of warm weather crops, especially if you are in a climate that has a very short growing season for these heat-loving plants. I didn't always plant by soil temperature, but I think that I've always realized there was a difference in the results. I just didn't realize it was the soil temperature that was causing that difference. I think I attributed most growth issues to air temperature, and that was way off base, at least in most instances. Once I recognized the importance of soil temperatures, I conducted an experiment, like any good home gardening scientist should, right? I planted tomatoes in mid-April, and then I planted the remaining tomato plants 4 weeks later in mid-May, which is when I usually plant them. The plants that went in the ground in April didn't grow nearly as quickly as those planted in May. The April plants just kind of sat there, taking more time to adjust to the transplanting. They stayed shorter for longer. They didn't start to produce their blooms nearly as quickly, while the ones that went into the much warmer May soil were off and running within just a few days. And those April plants produced fruit at just about the exact same time as the May planted ones. And the May plants were visibly healthier, and they were more able to fight off the foliar diseases that we inevitably face here every single season in our tomatoes. That was all it took for me to slow my roll in the spring and start paying attention to the soil temperatures and the temperature trends from year to year to use for my planning. And this isn't just with my warm weather plants, but my cold season ones too. And the preferred temperature changes, depending on whether or not I'm sowing seeds directly into the soil or if I'm transplanting started seedlings. So let's look at this from the standpoint of direct sowing seeds to start with. When we look at direct sowing seeds in the spring, the coldest temperature at which any vegetable garden seed will reliably germinate is 40 degrees Fahrenheit or 4 Celsius. Lettuce is one of those. It will germinate just about any time the soil is not frozen. Cool season transplants like brassicas, head lettuces, bok choy, kohlrabi, and celery do best with a minimum soil temperature of 40 degrees Fahrenheit with a minimum air temperature of 60 degrees Fahrenheit or 15 Celsius. But just because they prefer the cooler temperatures doesn't mean warmer soil won't help, especially with seed germination. The warmer that soil is, up to a certain point, the faster that seed is going to germinate. I generally aim for about 45 degrees Fahrenheit for my early crops, and this includes those transplants. My goal with transplants is to get them in the ground early enough that they can grow substantially before we start getting spikes in our air temperatures. I want them far enough along that if we see temperatures that jump up into the 80s Fahrenheit, which is pretty common for us in spring, it's happening this week, they would be less likely to bolt. This may mean planting cabbage and other brassicas as early as the first week in March in some years. Other years, it's not until the end of March. This year was somewhere in between. If you look at the packet instructions for starting your seeds, you'll see a recommendation for the soil temperature for germination, and that's a great guideline to follow. The more difficult it is for a seed to germinate, the more likely it will struggle as a seedling, and the more likely it will have difficulty fighting off pests and diseases. Remember, seeds are just baby plants in a little package with a sack lunch. That sack lunch has all the energy that baby plant needs to push itself out of that package and push up through the soil so it can get more energy from the sun. But if it has to expend more energy than anticipated in breaking through that soil because it's too cold, well, then it's depleted some of its energy stores that would normally be reserved for fighting off plant diseases and insect pests. So, for the best seed germination, wait to plant them outside until the soil conditions are right, even if the air temperatures seem to be perfect. Okay, but that's seeds. What does this mean for our plants, our transplants? What soil temperatures are best for transplanting seedlings out into the garden? Well, those recommendations for seed starting also hold true for the optimal temperature for plant roots, and it makes sense if we think about it. The top few inches of the soil out in our garden are going to warm up more quickly than the lower few inches. So the top few inches would be where the seed would germinate if it dropped naturally out in nature. The few inches below that is where the root zone of the plant is. So if we looked at the optimum temperature of, say, 85 degrees Fahrenheit for a tomato seed, we can assume that a seed that has been on the soil surface from fallen fruit the season before will be in the top inch of the soil. This, of course, is the zone where the sun is going to warm the soil the fastest. So if the optimum temperature for germination is 85 Fahrenheit, then the optimum soil temperature for root growth is the soil temperature a few inches below that. So generally speaking, a soil's temperature at a depth of 2 inches will be about 33% lower than the surface temperature. And at 4 inches, the temperature is 66% lower than the surface temperature. So for our tomatoes, this means where the seed germinates at 85 Fahrenheit, the root zone when it starts to grow will be at 57 Fahrenheit. So if we're transplanting our tomato plants at a soil temperature that is less than 57 Fahrenheit or 14 Celsius, we're not getting our plants off to the best start. And since we generally are going to be planting those plants about 3 to 4 inches down, this is even more important. The general recommendations for cool weather plants are a minimum soil temperature of 60 degrees Fahrenheit or 15 Celsius for germination, 40 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit or 4 to 10 Celsius for transplanting, and an average air temperature of 60 degrees Fahrenheit or 15 Celsius for growth. Now, for warm weather plants, these soil temperatures increase to 75 Fahrenheit or 24 Celsius for germination, a minimum soil temperature of 60 degrees Fahrenheit or 15 Celsius for transplanting, and a minimum average air temperature of 75 Fahrenheit or 24 Celsius for optimum growing. So what happens if we choose to transplant into soil that is colder than ideal for our warm weather plants? The research has shown us that colder soil temperatures impede the root growth of any plant species that is sensitive to frost, like our tomatoes. In fact, the roots of tomato plants stop growing at 50 degrees Fahrenheit, and that root growth is slow to recover after those roots finally warm back up again. So less than 2 hours of root exposure at that temperature is enough to cause damage, and it takes more than 8 hours at those warmer soil temperatures for the plant to recover. So if we're rushing out there to get our plants in the ground as quickly as possible and the soil is not warm enough, not only are we not getting an earlier harvest, we're likely getting a later one and one that won't produce as much. Air temperatures can change very quickly, whether that's dropping below freezing with some weird spring storm or heating up substantially because we have a few sunny days in a row. But the soil temperatures change more slowly, and this is because of the mass of the soil and the moisture content. So just because we've gotten past the last frost date doesn't mean the soil temperatures are conducive to planting those heat-loving plants just yet. Now, I know if you have a very short growing season and you need every single daylight hour in the summer to get a crop of tomatoes or peppers to maturity, then you want those plants to get in the ground as early as possible. I get it. Stick with me because here in a minute, we're going to talk strategies for warming that soil up artificially to get you where you need to be. And I'm going to teach you how to take your soil temperatures properly so you're not fooled into thinking they're warmer than they actually are. I may be a vegetable gardener, but I'm all about adding some color to the garden, and it's never too early to dream about spring roses. With Heirloom Roses, you can build your wish list all year long, order anytime, and choose the perfect delivery date for your gardening zone. With roses for zones 3 through 11, there is literally a rose for every garden. You can reserve your new favorite roses at heirloomroses.com and enjoy risk-free planting with their one-year guarantee, which I super appreciate because I don't have the best track record with roses. I am currently obsessed with their Julio Iglesias rose with its stunningly striped petals and strong citrus and verbena fragrance. I'm adding this one to my garden this year for cut flowers. Heirloom Roses knows that the best roses start with the best roots, which is why they only hand propagate own root roses, not grafted, investing in the foundations of your garden so you can reap the rewards of tons of healthy blooms this spring. Heirloom Roses has offered all of my listeners 20% off your next order with code JUSTGROW now through October 31st, 2024. Select from a collection of roses suited for your growing zone and shipped at the proper time, and use code JUSTGROW for 20% off at heirloomroses.com. So, how do we test our soil temperature properly in order to get the average temperature, and how can we speed up the heating process to facilitate planting? The best time to take the soil temperature is mid-morning, and the best place is at the 2-inch to 4-inch mark. Soil temperatures are generally coldest just before dawn, but by 10 a.m., the sun has come out to warm up the soil just slightly to be more representative of the daily average. The warmest soil temperature during the day is around 3 p.m., so a mid-morning reading should give us the most accurate picture of our average. Do this at least 2 to 3 days in a row to be sure you're hitting the goal temperature consistently. If you're simply not home at 10 a.m. multiple times per week to test your soil, here's the next best thing. Take the reading in the morning before you leave, and again when you get home. Add those temperatures and divide by 2 to get your average for the day. Do this 4 or 5 days in a row to get a true average. So you can test the soil temperature by having a dedicated soil thermometer, which is what I have. Or you can just use a meat thermometer. It's entirely up to you and your sensibilities if you decide to use that thermometer for meat again after that. Basic dedicated soil thermometers are pretty inexpensive, and I will link to the one that I have in the show notes. I think I paid less than 10 bucks for it. You can also use a compost thermometer if you already have one, which has a longer probe on it. No matter which type of thermometer you use, you want to be sure that you are measuring at that 2 to 4 inch level. That's why I like the soil thermometer that I have, because it's 4 inches long and I can just push it down into the soil until the display is resting just above the soil surface. And I know I'm measuring in the right place in the soil every single time. And I can keep that thermometer with my garden supplies at all times ready to use. I don't have to go like rummaging through kitchen drawers somewhere to look for a meat thermometer. Now, there are tricks that we can use to modify our soil temperatures, either warmer in the spring or cooler in the fall, to facilitate getting our seeds and our plants in the ground at the ideal time. I know I talk about mulch ad nauseum, but mulch is our friend when it comes to maintaining even soil temperatures, right? So if you are trying to get that soil to warm up, there are a few tricks to help you push the boundaries a little bit. Number one, pull back any mulch that you have already down in the garden during the day to allow the sun's rays to penetrate the soil surface. Soils are typically cooler in the spring coming out of winter, partly because of soil moisture. So as the soil warms up, some of the heat that accumulates is being used to dry out that wet soil. Only the remainder of that heat is what goes toward raising the actual soil temperature. So if you can move back any mulch to let that heat in and then put it back in place at night before the sun goes down, then you can trap that heat in the soil. Fun fact, heat that is absorbed on a warm day actually continues to pass down through the soil layers the next day. So this uncovering and covering of the mulch of the soil is going to help have a cumulative effect. So it's going to raise the soil temperature more quickly. Now, if you don't have the time to be moving mulch back and forth every day, you can also use clear plastic coverings over top of your beds to intensify the heat and significantly raise those temperatures. So by placing like PVC hoops over your beds and then putting clear plastic over that, you will really get those temperatures spiking and it will hold it in for longer. Your warm weather plants are still going to need to wait until the air temperatures are conducive to growth. But by getting a head start, the soil temperatures will be ready to go at the same time the air temperatures are. So when we're planning out our seed starting or our transplant schedule for the spring or even the fall, if we're relying on soil temperature, how do we plan? How do we figure out when to start those seeds or to buy those plants? We don't want them ready too early and we don't want to buy them too late. And most seed starting instructions, my own included, talk about starting seeds like 6 weeks before the last spring frost or transplanting 2 weeks prior to the spring frost or whatever. But if the soil temperatures aren't ready at that point, how can we put that as a date on our planning calendar? Enter historical data. And no, this time I'm not even talking about our garden journals. I am not expecting you to be out there taking measurements of your garden soil temperatures and putting that information down in your garden journal every week so that you have the data to look back on. I'm a data nerd and even I don't do that, okay? I do know, though, that if I planted on a certain date, my soil was above a certain temperature because that's the technique that I use. So you technically can rely on your own notes to get a general idea of when to start seeds and plan for transplants if you are planting based on soil temperatures. But if this is new for you or gasp, you're not keeping a garden journal, well, you're in luck. There are people who get paid to gather this data for us. Your local extension website may have historical soil temperature data for your area specifically, but I generally use a soil temperature map from Greencast Online. I will link to it in the show notes. I have linked to it before. It is a fantastic tool where you can just punch in your location via zip code, and it will give you current and historical data for the soil temperature at that location at 2 inches below the soil surface. And it will show you the 5-year and 10-year average if you're interested in that. It is what I base my anticipated planting dates on for everything from sweet corn to tomatoes in the spring and all the late summer crops going into fall. And if I'm not sure whether a reading I'm getting is normal for this time of year, like when I go out and I test the soil temperature myself, I can look at their data to see if it's an unusual year or if maybe I'm just misremembering something from previous seasons. Gosh, I really do love good data. So hopefully I have convinced you to slow down a little and consider all the factors that go into planting your garden, both the air temperatures and the soil temperatures, and given you a few tips to get the soil warmed up if you really need to get those seeds or those plants into the ground early. I know we all get anxious, but sometimes waiting is the best thing for our plants and our harvest. Until next time, my gardening friends, keep on cultivating that dream garden, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Just Grow Something podcast. For more information about today's topic and to find all the ways you can get in touch with me or support the show, go to justgrowsomethingpodcast.com. So when we're planning out our seed starting or our transplant schedule for the spring or even the fall, if we're relying Until next time, my gardening friends, keep learning and keep growing.